Our friend Chad Finn, the Boston Globe, and I believe the guy who trained Dolph Lundgren for his role in the Rocky movie. Chad Finn with us here. Hello, Chad.
That's just an urban legend. I can confirm or deny that.
I recognize those moves. I know where they came from.
Yeah, maybe.
How have you been?
I've been good. How about you?
I'm all right for a man of my advanced years. You know, I'm doing all right. Enjoying the summer weather that's finally arrived.
Yeah, it's all relative, right? Advanced years. My knee doesn't hurt too bad today. My back actually bends. That's pretty much how I gauge it these days.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I played golf this morning. I think only my second time out all year. And it used to be that because I don't use those muscles so much that, boy, the next day I would be really sore. But I like that I've speeded up the process. I'm already sore now.
You're ahead of the game. You're beating the system, Rich.
That's what I think. Yeah. Yeah. I won't have to ice tomorrow because I'll be taking care of that tonight. Well, let's see. Let's start with the Red Sox. Pretty good weekend for this team. Beat the Mets. Boy, the Mets are awful. And to look at Buck Showalter, he's like, what the hell happened?
Yeah, it was really interesting dynamic at Fenway over the weekend because there are a lot of angry Mets fans there.
Yeah.
And I think Red Sox fans looked around and said, wait a minute, we're the ones that are usually angry here the last couple of years. Where'd these guys come from? But there's kind of, I think there's generally with the Red Sox right now, a pretty good, cautiously optimistic vibe. It got took a little ding there with the way the A series played out, which everybody's kind of counting on a sweep, and then they won one game. But they've played really good baseball for a couple of weeks now, other than that hiccup. And I think it leads you to the conclusion that they should try to add at the deadline, not anything drastic, but a starting pitcher, so they're not doing a bullpen day 40% of the time, or something that's not going to cost you an elite prospect, but can help out. And more importantly, not to get rid of guys who are actually contributing to what's shaping up to be a fairly encouraging season.
Yeah, and you know, I assume that Adam Duvall is a guy that they'll shop around, especially since he's been swinging the bat well lately. But I'd kind of hate to see him go because when he's hot, he's as good as there is. And it seems like he's well-liked by the team and a good guy to have around, but maybe the odd man out.
Yeah, he's a super guy. I did some stuff on him in spring training this year. And he reminded me of somebody from the 2013 team, really friendly with everybody, reporters, clubhouse, employees of the team, fans, and it's always nice to have guys like that around. But I think if you're looking at this for what's best for the roster, probably in the short term and the long term, I think getting Duran a few more at-bats, even though Cora's been hesitant to do it, have him in there against left-handers, getting him a few more at-bats and essentially having him in there every day is probably a good idea. Duvall will have some trade appeal. He won a World Series a couple years ago with the Braves. It was a midseason pickup for them there. But they might be able to get something to actually help the Major League roster back in return, a relief pitcher, maybe even somebody to help the rotation. So I think you can move from him. You can move on from Kike Hernandez or Christian Arroyo because there's a crunch there in the middle infield. But for the most part, I think it's threading the needle at the deadline, but not in the way that he did last year, where he just kind of brought in useless pieces because he took care of Cosmer because they didn't have to pay him.
Right.
This time around, he can actually move a couple of guys and maybe get guys in return that can come in and help.
Yeah, and Sam Kennedy said last week that the biggest pickup may not be a trade for the team. It may be getting their guys back and healthy. And, yeah, if you get Trevor Story back, if you can get Sale for however long before he does something else to get hurt and get a Garrett Whitlock back, that's probably better than what most teams will be able to get at the trade deadline.
But don't you just hate that thinking, that line of thinking that, well, we don't really need to do anything because we've got this guy, this injury-prone guy, and this guy who hasn't played in 9 months, and this guy who just seems to get hurt every 3 weeks coming back. Don't do that. Enhance what you have. They have an opportunity to do that. They're not winning the World Series this year, but they can sneak into the playoffs. And the most important things for this team have gone right this year, having Bayo develop, having Duran turned into something. Cassius has really turned it on here the last couple of weeks. Yoshida is more than anybody other than maybe Heim Bloom and the Red Sox scouts expected. A lot of good things have happened for the big picture of this team, but they can, you know, they can build some goodwill here by actually doing something at deadline that gives people a reason to be encouraged right now beyond the fairly promising newcomers that they have that are setting up for a bright future. And to say, well, we've got this guy and that guy and this guy coming back, that's great. They'll help. But build on that. Get somebody else, too.
Well, and we know what it does for the fan base, but do the players look at that and say, yeah, I don't know if they really think we're worth investing in. All they did was wait for our guys to come off the IL.
Yeah, well, they were disappointed to furious last year at the deadline that they didn't get any help. And they, you know, they weren't going anywhere. But to look up and see, you know, Hosmer coming in because Padres picked up all the salary. Tommy Pham, you know, okay, bad against left-handed pitching. A guy with a little bit of edge, but he knew he wasn't going to be there beyond the last season. And Reese McGuire, who is a backup catcher. That's what he is. And to see Vasquez go out frustrated those guys, even though you can say Bloom traded Vasquez at the right time probably, but it was hard for those guys to deal with. Mm. And I think it affected the way they played in the second half of the season. So this team's better than the one they had last year. And I think they're more it's easier to justify bringing in reinforcements for this group.
We're talking with Chad Finn here on Downtown. Good news that I saw today about one of the best people, both in terms of talent and being a great person in the Boston sports media, Mike Giardi, finally getting scooped up by Boston Sports Journal.
Mike Giardi is a force of evil, and you can play this clip to him anytime you have him. No. He's probably the person I've known in Boston media the longest. We started out around the same time. He was on New England Cable News back in the 90s. He was the first person that put Bill Simmons on the air, which is pretty interesting. You know, Bill had just started his website. Now he's a mogul in L.A. Mike's a great guy, and he got screwed over by the NFL Network. I mean, there was a lot of belief within the building at NFL Media that Mike was let go because they couldn't just get rid of Jim Trotter, who was the guy who questioned Goodell about race issues within NFL media and why they didn't really have any minorities on staff twice in a row at the Super Bowl. And Jim Trotter's contract wasn't picked up. He was let go. And a lot of people there thought it was the NFL trying to make it look like they weren't just trying to get rid of Trotter. So they let Giardi and a couple other people go at the same time. And Mike was just caught in the crossfire there, which is unfair because he's beyond being a terrific guy, he's a great reporter on the Patriots, really plugged in from being around there 20 years, more or less, the entire Belichick era. So glad to see him land on his feet with Greg Bedard over there.
I was reading your column in the Globe yesterday, and I know how much you love Derek Jeter. And maybe that's why you were able to give the perfect description of Derek Jeter's work on Fox Sports, and I quote, "Derek Jeter has the weary look of a dad who spent the last 5 hour in a car with his kids, and they long ago called his bluff about turning the car around." That is dead on.
That's it, right?
Yes.
I mean, he just looks like he would rather be anywhere else except for maybe running the Miami Marlins.
When they were at the All-Star game and they had
A-Rod, so.
When they had
he has
the
no sense of humor about the Red Sox prank that Ortiz plays on him on every broadcast. I mean, clear, you know, he's never in on the joke, even if he's supposed to be in on the joke. And it's just such a weird setup with those three because we know A-Rod and Jeter can't stand each other. And Ortiz is just, you know, giving both of them a hard time. It's strange, and it doesn't work other than if you like seeing Derek Jeter agitated, which he seems to permanently be.
When they were all sitting together in the stands at the All-Star game, you could just see the look on Jeter's face like, man, if I could just dig a hole and get out of here, I would do it now.
He's just I used to be the shortstop of the Yankees, and now I'm sitting here. That's what it looked like.
Well, and he's thinking to himself, maybe Chad Finn is right. Maybe I wasn't as good as Nomar.
Oh, he knows deep down, right? You're Jay Jaffe. I know you have Jay Jaffe on his jaws, the 7-year peak. And Omar's got him beat. Jeter's well aware of that. He digs into all the analytics, I'm sure.
Are you excited at all about what horrors could be revealed on Hard Knocks with the Jets this year?
I'm telling you, it's going to go wrong with that team, because I just tweeted something out about, I don't know, Hard Knocks or something like that. And I got this whole massive Jets fans saying, oh, this is the year, you know, they're great every once in a while, 2010, this is it, roster's loaded. And all my response is just, are you a Nets fan too? Because that's what happened when Kyrie Irving went there. And Aaron Rodgers is about the closest thing to Kyrie Irving in the NFL in terms of his attitude toward team and other issues.
Yeah.
And he wasn't good last year. That's the other thing. I mean, they do have a really talented roster and a good defense, but Aaron Rodgers can fall apart quickly, and I don't think Jets fans are prepared for that.
No, not only wasn't good, but when he didn't play well, he was quick to blame it on his teammates.
Oh yeah, I know. I have this, like, part of me thinks that they have so much talent on that team, they might actually pick him up. All they need is competence at quarterback, because Zach Wilson was so bad last year. But I could see Rodgers struggling a little bit and then starting to throw blame around. And, you know, he's compared Garrett Wilson as a terrific receiver to Devontae Adams. But what if Wilson runs the wrong route a couple of times? We're going to find out about it, because Aaron Rodgers will say something snide. And it has the chance to be a great year for the Jets. It also has the chance to really go off the rails. And the Jets being the Jets, I'm betting on the latter.
And is it a real possibility that Bill Belichick could be on the hot seat this year if they don't do well?
Oh, he's going to be the HC of the NYJ again. That's how this all ends. Takes over next year. Hard Knocks. Yeah, I mean, there's some weird stuff going on. You know, what Kraft says publicly on a lot of issues lately doesn't really jive with the way Belichick's gone about his business. I'm sure he gets frustrated hearing about the willingness to spend. And, you know, we don't really know whose decision it was to bring in Bill O'Brien, but it's, I don't think it was 100% Belichick. And Kraft has a right to be frustrated with a lot of things that have gone on the last couple of years. I mean, Belichick's the greatest coach in NFL history. I think he's still an exceptional coach to get out of the roster what he has. Now, the Cam Newton year, for instance, that was a 4-win team. Would they win 8? 7-7. So, I mean, he's still an outstanding coach, but just some of the decisions, how can you put Matt Patricia in that role and subject your second-year quarterback to a lost season because of the incompetence of the guy that is running the offense? Just things like that. Why didn't they pay Hopkins? They should have paid Hopkins. They had a lot more money to play with than the Titans. He would have helped out here. So he's still building the roster a lot, similarly to how he did when Brady was here, and he doesn't have Brady anymore and hasn't been really willing to adjust yet. But I don't think he's in danger of losing his job. I think he's just frustrated his owner a little bit with some decisions.
Chad, do you have any book events coming up here in the late summer?
Can I say, thank God, no. I hit my maximum on those. I just get so repetitive, you know. To tell them the same anecdotes over and over again and stuff. I got to freshen up my material, but maybe another one or two of the Red Sox book, but I'm in the middle of working on the Celtics version of the book that's going to come out in October.
Oh, wow.
2024, all the Globe coverage of the Celtics through the year. So it's a lot of Bob Ryan and Jackie McMullen.
That's not a bad way to spend your time going through that.
No, and Lee Montville. Can't go wrong there either.
Oh, that's great. Happy belated birthday to Lee, who turned 80 the other day.
Did he really? Wow, yeah. He doesn't look 80.
No, he doesn't. Not at all. Me?
I feel 80.
Oh, yeah. I hear you. Chad, thank you as always. Hope the rest of your day goes, you know, at least half as well as the last 15 minutes with us.
Thanks, Rich. Same to you.
Chad Finn with us on Downtown.